Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Right now, all American eyes, well, let's just say all compassionate American eyes, are focused on the devastation in Texas that Hurricane Harvey is rendering on Houston and surrounding areas. Our fourth largest city is inundated, like it has never happened in Houston before, like it really hasn't happened anywhere in the lower 48 in continental United States before. Hurricane Harvey is epic. There's no doubt about it. This level of rain, this ferocity of winds, these just mostly just the volume of rain of this very, very slow moving storm is wreaking havoc, of course. More than a dozen are dead. Likely, when the floodwaters recede, we will find dozens have died. Hopefully not hundreds. But it is indeed quite likely. And at a time when America is being torn apart by Trumpism and all the hatreds that it is engendering, the only good thing we have out of Texas is seeing the humanity there. Just as Heather Heyer showed us the humanity of those opposing the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, ordinary people with boats are congregating throughout Texas and some in Louisiana and just looking for lives to save. Just going around looking for lives to save. And doing it and saving dozens, hundreds, thousands. Those are the heroes, right? Those are real American heroes. Those are people just leading otherwise ordinary lives, stepping up, defending their fellow Americans, helping save lives. God bless them. Those of us who aren't in Texas can help. I myself have made a donation to the Red Cross. I encourage you to do so as well. It's really easy. You go to redcross.org. You click your level of donation. You can give $50. You can give $5. You can give $500. But it is really, really easy to do. And if you can't be there, like I can't be in Texas right now, if you can give, you can help. We do have to ask ourselves, though, as Americans, as policymakers, what is being done to help the people there? Why Hurricane Harvey is so epic? And whether or not our government is doing enough to help? And yes, we have to use those words that, Republicans never let pass from their lips. We got to talk about climate change, global warming, because science tells us, climatologists tell us, that the reason why Hurricane Harvey is so severe, indeed, probably the single most epic storm in American history, is because of global warming. Now, global warming doesn't cause hurricanes. Yes, we've had hurricanes before global warming. But global warming and climate change do is global warming increases the ferocity of these storms. One of the things we know is that warmer air increases the amount of moisture in the air. It causes it to rain more and harder than before. I remember in 2010, when people on Fox News were of course, disputing global warming. I was on a show with Eric Bolling. And it was in New York, and it was February, and it was snowing. And well, Eric Bolling put a copy of Al Gore's book, An Inconvenient Truth, in the snow, took pictures of it all during our broadcast. You watched the book being covered by snow. And argued that all that snow meant that, well, global warming couldn't possibly be real. Obviously, this wasn't a scientific argument. Some 97% of scientists agree that climate change is real. In fact, far more scientists agree that climate change is real than agree that tobacco causes lung cancer. It's only about 90% of scientists that agree that tobacco causes lung cancer. 97% agree about climate change, and most of the other 3% are paid for by the fossil fuel industry. Anyway, but Eric Bolling was arguing to me, and by the way, you can still find that clip online. If I'm asked for it, I will find it for you after the show. I'll post it on Facebook. He said, see, Mark, see all this snow? Global warming's fake, or something. I'm paraphrasing here. And I said, Eric, actually, the snow shows global warming. For two reasons. One, it can be too cold to snow. There's actually very little snow in the depths of Antarctica because snow mostly comes when the temperature is, in Fahrenheit, in the 20s. And if it's down there and it's 0 degrees, it actually doesn't usually snow that much. And you probably know that from your own experience if you live in a northern climate. You know, the snows come when it's 25 or 30. Outside, not when it's -5. So actually, global warming, by increasing the winter temperature from the really low levels to the just below freezing levels, increased snow. But the other thing is that heat allows more moisture to be in the air. That's the reason, by the way, why it snows more at 20 degrees than it does at -10 degrees. Of course, it's not just true in the winter. There's more moisture in the air in the summer, too. It's the kind of thing that brings on, well, a really deadly hurricane. And you don't have to trust me. You don't have to take my word for it. You shouldn't take my word for it. You can just go online and read a really good article in National Geographic. You know, that liberal rag, National Geographic, that Hillary Clinton, Democratic Party, Rachel Maddow. No, National Geographic, of course, is not political at all. It's a scientific journal, and they write there in an article called How Climate Change Likely Heightened Harvey's Fury, being very reasonable the way scientists are. They point out that wind speeds rise in warmer condition, that the air holds more moisture. Hurricanes, says Kerry Emanuel, an atmospheric sciences professor at MIT who has published groundbreaking research on hurricane wind speeds, says, and I quote, hurricanes are powered by the evaporation of seawater, and water evaporates faster from a hot surface than a cold surface. Seems reasonable to me. This scientist, Kerry Emanuel, analyzed 6,000 storms, simulated storms based on various data, comparing how they evolved under the 20th century historical conditions with how they could evolve at the end of the 21st century if our greenhouse gas emissions keep arising. And the result is the storm increases its intensity by 60 knots in the 24 hours before landfall. That increase may have occurred once in a century in the 1900s, and 100 years later are likely to occur every 5 to 10 years. So 10 to 20 times more common. Again, this is not really disputed by anyone. It's just a fact. Now, what you may say, well, Mark, why are you talking about climate change? People are dying. Well, people are dying. And no, we're not going to do anything in the next 2 weeks to save these lives by talking about climate change. But I don't know. You know that old, I think it's Turkey in the Straw? I think it's an Arkansas ditty. There, where the wife is telling her husband, there's a hole in the roof, go up and fix the roof. And he says, I'm not going to fix the roof now, it's raining. She's complaining that the rain's coming in the house. So then she says to him, well, it's sunny out today, go fix the roof. And he says, well, why should I fix it now? It's sunny. I don't see any leaks. You get the point. This, if all of Al Gore's warnings was not a lesson, should be a lesson. And frankly, people all over the world are getting the lesson. The Paris Climate Agreement, frankly, is inadequate, but definitely is a step forward to getting everyone to reduce their use of carbon, to reduce their carbon emissions, and we pulled out of that agreement. There are real political dangers here. There are real lives to be lost. But there's another issue with these storms that I think is equally important to point out, and that is that government is the best hope for people trapped in a storm. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying to yourself, well, Mark, you just opened your broadcast, and you talked about individuals, not government. Individuals taking out their boats and helping people. You said how you could donate to the Red Cross and that you've done it yourself. So clearly, all these private groups are working hard to help save flood victims. And the answer is yes, they are. And if you're in Texas and you have a boat, please get out there. And if you can donate, please donate. But this is not an either-or phenomenon. The private groups simply aren't enough. The reason why Katrina was a complete catastrophe was not because there was not goodwill among private individuals in America, but because FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, was not well run, even though George Bush said Brownie was doing a heck of a job. FEMA has undergone dramatic changes under President Obama and is a much, much better run organization, agency, than ever before. I have no doubt they're working very hard. But Donald Trump's budget, the Republican budget, would slash funding to FEMA, would slash funding to the very people who are doing the best job in helping to save the people of Texas. And so my question for the people of Texas will be, do you want government help or not? Many conservatives argue they're too proud for government help. We don't need government help until the floods come. We don't need health care until you get cancer. We don't want the government until they're keeping grandma alive. For all the fights going on to preserve various Confederate memorials, do the people of rural Texas understand that this matters? That climate change matters? That global warming matters? That healthcare matters? That government aid matters? That the people who are messing with Texas the most, you know that expression, don't mess with Texas. The people messing with Texas are the Republicans, are Donald Trump. He's going down there for photo ops, but he didn't meet with a single person harmed by the storm. This isn't a joke, folks. This is reality. And someone's not getting the message. 888-48-MARK, if you want to call in, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Texans are a notoriously proud people. They always say don't mess with Texas. And not just because it rhymes. They Texans say they're self-reliant. They're just fine. But Texas needs our help right now. I think even a Texan would admit it. And perhaps the greatest help coming to Texas, in addition to charities like the Red Cross, in addition to those wonderful people that are out there with boats trying to save lives, the biggest response is coming from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency that failed so badly under George W. Bush with Katrina and succeeded so well under President Obama with Hurricane Andrew and others. Before the floodwaters came to Houston, Donald Trump proposed a budget calling for massive cuts to FEMA. Cuts of hundreds of millions of dollars to an agency that is already in debt by tens of billions of dollars. Maybe this will get him to change his mind. You know, hurricanes hit red states and not just blue states. But I remember when Trump was complaining about tens of millions of dollars spent on, you know, fishery management and on the effects of the winds and how they get worse under climate change, and argued that was a waste of money. Well, in the hundreds of millions of dollars, this goes to help both predict and help prepare for disasters like the ones we're talking about. Let me give you some examples of how Trump's budget will harm the victims of Hurricane Harvey. He wanted to zero out the $3 billion a year in community development block grants. Basically, that's what goes to rebuilding homes and businesses after a disaster. He sought to cut the weather service by tens of millions of dollars. He sought to cut National Flood Insurance Program by hundreds of millions of dollars. He sought to cut hospital preparedness funds by hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not just FEMA. This is the Trump budget. Now, Republicans need to understand and make up their minds. Do they want government help or not? The red states famously take much more from the government than the blue states. Liberals contribute more than they get back from government. Conservatives, welfare recipients, those states take much more than they give back. And you know what? As a liberal, I don't mind helping my fellow Americans in need. I guess I just wish they'd say thank you. I guess I would hope that the people who vote for Republicans in Texas would say thank you when we liberals, over the opposition of Republicans, push through legislation to make sure that people in flood zones are helped. And that when we try to do something about climate change, they won't be seeking to protect all the people who like to pollute with carbon, but will actually recognize that this is a battle, a worldwide battle, we all need to fight. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-6275, right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Our hearts go out to the people struggling in Texas, parts of Louisiana, and the Gulf Coast, and the Houston area, and all around. The two Republican senators from Texas, John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, are going to be asking for federal assistance for Hurricane Harvey, as they should. But the two of them opposed federal assistance for Hurricane Sandy.
What?
Which hit the shores of New Jersey in 2013. I'm not so sure what the difference is between Harvey and Sandy. It may be that they consider Texas different from New Jersey. But I guess that's the difference between liberals and conservatives, right? As a liberal, I support aid to the people of Texas, even though Texas is a red state, and to Louisiana, even though Louisiana is a red state, because my fellow Americans are suffering. But for Republicans, they're willing to ask for government assistance, as long as it's only going to their people. And yet it's these same Republicans, people like Ted Cruz, who fight against a government budget that provides for hurricane assistance. 2 years ago, President Obama issued an executive order tied to climate change. It was designed to help communities after floods rebuild themselves. All kinds of projects that could get federal funds. You had bridges and hospitals, sewage treatment plants. The order allowed them, gave them money, gave them aid to build things higher and stronger to withstand flooding, to withstand terrible storms. 2 weeks ago, this is according to National Public Radio, and I have to cite them because I didn't see it in the news 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump rescinded that executive order. 2 weeks ago, when Hurricane Harvey had already formed and was heading toward Texas, the President of the United States said, "We will not help you from storms. We will not help you recover." Now, I'll have to look. I haven't done the research to see what Cornyn or Cruz said about rescinding that executive order. They usually do support most ends to regulation and needless spending, like helping people avoid a hurricane caused, or at least exacerbated, by the same global warming that these Texans usually support in order to support their fossil fuel industry. But as J.R. Lehman, a fellow with the R Street Institute, a free market research group, has said, quote, "Being able to reduce or eliminate a risk is much more cost effective than having to respond to it after the fact." In other words, if you elevate a building before a flood, it's going to be cheaper than elevating it after a flood and paying for the damages. Frankly, we say this about healthcare too. It's cheaper to take heart medicine than it is to do an emergency quintuple heart bypass surgery by cutting someone's chest down the middle and trying to save their lives at the last minute. Same's true with climate change. Lehman does point out, and I'm sure he's right about this, that even though the Obama executive order was a really good idea, the fact that he mentioned climate change in it, well, that made it really, as he put it, quote, toxic on the right, unquote. He said it probably wasn't the wisest marketing. You see, if you want to help people in America and you want the right to go along with it, you gotta lie to them. They're really used to lies. That's what they like. We do it in Virginia. We cannot get the Virginia Republicans to vote on anything that mentions those evil, terrible, disgusting, offensive words, global warming or climate change. Those words are forbidden in the Virginia General Assembly. But we have been able to get them to do flood risk management funds, recurrent, extensive flooding funds. And frankly, we need them. Norfolk, Virginia, on the Atlantic seaboard, is probably the second most threatened port in America, after New Orleans, frankly. So they need the funds badly. And, you know, we Democrats, if they want to call it flood management, fine by me. Just get the money to the people in need. But President Obama made a mistake. He told the truth. He mentioned climate change. And, well, I guess that may be one reason why Donald Trump rescinded the executive order. Trump also, as I mentioned, proposes cutting hundreds of millions of dollars just on the amount that FEMA spends to help states prepare for flooding. It completely eliminates FEMA's flood mapping program. You know, that program that has maps that show who's in a flood zone and who's not, and tries to encourage people not to build in flood zones. Yeah, that's a problem. Except that everyone uses these flood maps. Even private companies like these flood maps. I looked at flood maps because I live near the Potomac River. It helps to know whether your home or business can be flooded. But FEMA's already in trouble. It is more than $23 billion in debt. I'm sure those two Texas senators will try to get some Band-Aids there. But trying to prevent a disaster before it happens is always cheaper than after it happens. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's in Texas. He hasn't yet mentioned, he hasn't met with any Hurricane Harvey victims. Not a single one. Even though he says he's seen firsthand the damage from the storm. Did you do what Bush did? Did you do a flyby? I mean, that is how you could see the damage, given that he hasn't met with any victims. I mean, I could show you image after image of George Bush or Barack Obama meeting with victims of the storm. He is kind of proud of it, though. He keeps bragging about the horror and devastation. He's bragging about the epic amount of water. And for once, he's telling the truth. It is an epic storm. But it's not like he's doing anything. No, the people that are doing something are the people who are going around in boats, saving lives. If he wants to do something, the first thing he could do is say, hey, you know, I've changed my mind on the budget. Now, of course, he's not going to do that. Donald Trump never admits he's wrong. So let's just help him out with a little lie. When the Republicans propose Hurricane Harvey aid that basically undoes Trump's cut to FEMA, well, I guess most Democrats will stay silent. Just to make sure that the aid comes. And I know there's some people that say, Mark, you know, you're making this all political. Why are you attacking Republicans right now? People are dying. And the answer is people are dying because Republicans have insisted on doing nothing about climate change. And this actually is kind of recent. You go back 20 years ago and you can find there were Republicans working on climate change. But when the fossil fuel industry got involved and started threatening to cut those checks or to stop cutting checks to the people who supported their agenda and start maybe writing checks for those who oppose them in a primary, well, that's when Republicans changed on climate change. We know that. We can go right to the time. We see the checks. There is no science behind the denial of climate change. Let me give you some more from the National Geographic. So they write that scientists have known for decades that the peak intensity of severe storms will increase as temperatures rise. But it also, and this is important, it shortens the time it takes to reach those speeds. And because summer temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico now average 2 degrees warmer than they did 30 years ago, it starts from a higher place. We know this is true when we cook. You know, if you cook, I toast bagels all the time. If I toast them in my oven, normally it takes a certain amount of time. But if my oven's hot and I've just made some and I stick a couple more in, guess what? They burn a lot quicker when the oven's already hot. It doesn't take a rocket scientist or a climatologist to understand this very basic thing. So when Michael Wehner, a senior staff scientist at the Department of Energy's Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, he points out that Category 4 and 5 storms experience a late surge of wind speed before landfall because of climate change. We know that an ocean is an infinite supply of moisture, National Geographic writes, and Harvey is sucking it towards land and dumping it on Texas. And as the globe warms, Rainfall is increasing across all these regions. The heat builds up in the sea surface. It allows the storm to take up more water vapor. And here's the quote that you should remember. Quote, every scientist contacted by National Geographic was in agreement that the volume of rain from Harvey was almost certainly driven up by temperature increases from human carbon dioxide emissions. The lower number, the lowest number from scientists, is that it increased 10 to 15%. But actually, most of them talk more about it doubling. Climate change alone increases the rainfall 5 to 10%, but if the ocean is already experiencing unusual high temperatures, as it is at the end of the summer, that's what doubles the increase in rainfall. And in fact, there's a feedback effect. See, normally dry air over the land helps kill these storms, but Harvey has dumped so much moisture that it's now evaporating from the land, treating it like the ocean. We all know that hurricanes have a lot of power over oceans and tend to peter out over when they hit dry land. But in this case, they've dumped so much rain in Houston that it's evaporating and then dumping it again. It's a stationary storm. If this doesn't cause Republicans to wake up and do something about climate change, is there anything that possibly will? If this doesn't cause Texans to realize that the federal government does a lot of good and that federal programs actually often do a lot of good, what will? Can people who've suffered this much still remain in such denial? What do you think? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. When I was a student at Yale Law School, my property professor was a conservative Republican, really nice guy, very smart. And I remember him bragging about Houston. You see, Houston was the only major city in the United States, still is, not to have zoning law. Every other city in the United States, they have local city councils and that tell you you can build here, but you can't build here. This is for commercial. This is for residential. Not Houston. Houston, you can build a factory right next to a residential home. You can build a strip mall right next to a school. No zoning in Houston. And I remember, as he described it, it was beguiling. He actually persuaded me at the time. I'm not persuaded anymore. That the free market could just solve all these problems. You don't have to go through some bureaucrat in the government. Just let the free market decide what works and what doesn't work. Well, the free market in Houston has transformed it into a massive flood zone because the people building their shops and stores and homes weren't thinking about floods the way those boring government bureaucrats would. A 500-year flood is named a 500-year flood because it's supposed to come, based on actuarial statistics, once every 500 years. But Hurricane Harvey is the third 500-year flood to hit Houston in the past 3 years. Doesn't seem like a coincidence. Houston, we have a problem. Of course, it's not just Houston. Houston, in the last 50 years, has seen a 167% increase in the frequency of the most intense downpours, political rights. So that's 2 2/3 times. And as much as 30% of the rainfall, climate scientists say, is attributable to human-caused global warming. But Houston isn't alone. A recent study shows that up to 500 million people worldwide will also be exposed to a doubling of flood frequency. So all this talk about Al Gore and his boring book, well, Al Gore was a prophet, and America didn't listen. Frankly, they're still not listening. Let's go to Johnny, who is in Texas, San Marcos, Texas, on line 5. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
I am doing good.
Hopefully, hopefully you're not close to the flood zone. I don't know where San Marcos is.
Oh, yes. Well, we actually were supposed to flood, but the tornado stalled over Victoria, and we were spared. And I pray for all those people who got flooded. But you're saying about what will it take for these people to wake up? Well, they're still going to be listening to the same stations they're listening to. They're still going to be editing the textbooks in Texas to take out climate change and what have you. I mean, what's going to change? There was Cedar, what's the name of it? It's Cedar Bayou or something like that over by Houston. 51.8 inches of rain. Shattered the amount of flooding.
Yeah.
There was in Rockport, they said it was the 1800 year flood rain.
Right, but these 1800-year floods are happening every year now. So obviously, we had to change our statistics. And obviously, it's not normal. So let me ask you this question, because you're in Texas, Johnny. I'm going to throw back the same question you just asked me, because I don't know the answer. But you know your people that live around you. Will this horror and destruction and hell that's going on with Hurricane Harvey wake up some people to finally realize they've been lied to for decades?
And you know what's scary?
You don't think so.
You say the people that live around me. In 98, we had a massive flood, and we're in a floodplain. And God willing, we still have a mortgage, so we have to have flood insurance. But people all around me were paid in full. They're not there anymore. They moved on. They couldn't take any more floods. But yet the people that are around me now, I was out there warning them when I felt that we were going to be in trouble. I told them all. And a lot of our college students, their parents are buying these houses so that their kid can go to college here. And I told them all. I said, look, if I evacuate, I'm going to tell you. And if I'm not here, here's the signs to look for on this road that you're about to get flooded.
And people weren't listening to you? Johnny, they how many people listened to you and how many didn't? Half and half?
I had strangers from across the street give me their cell phone number and say, call me if you evacuate. Because I let them know that this was an event of a lifetime, and we had been flooded out before.
So, well, Johnny,
it's scary, but
Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
They change, they remain the same.
Let's hope that we learn some lessons from this. Let's hope that, tragedy is terrible. I never want the tragedy to happen, but let's at least learn from it so we don't repeat that tragedy. Thank you for calling, Johnny. I don't have much time. I'll quickly go to Doug, line 3, Sherman Oaks, California. Hey, Doug, real quick. We got Doug, line 3. Go ahead, Doug.
Hello?
Yes, you only got about 20 seconds now. Go ahead. Make your point real quick.
I'm talking. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you.
Hi, Mark. Yes, I hear you.
Okay, we only have a few seconds left to make your point real quick.
Yeah, I just think that the Democrats' relief package for the hurricane victims must be contingent upon rescinding the rollback of the Obama contingency for rebuilding.
I think that's a great idea, and people are going to say, why are you connecting these two things? And the answer is, well, the Obama executive order is designed to protect people from future floods. That's a great idea. Combine it, and maybe we'll even get Ted Cruz and John Cornyn to vote for it. Thank you. Sorry I couldn't get to Old Faithful. Michael from the Bronx, we'll have to call back another day. I'll be back on Monday. Until then, go to redcross.org to donate to Texas.